Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 84. My name is John. Just as every cop is a criminal, and all the sinners saints, as heads is tails, just call me Lucifer, because I'm in need of some restraint. In general, I am not a trusting person. I've had people betray me, lie to me, swindle me. Some of these things happened because I was stupid. Some of these things happened because I trusted the wrong people to do what they said they would do. A couple of these things have come up in podcasts over the years, so if you've listened long enough, you probably know some of the stories. It's safe to say, at this point in my life, with what I have learned about people in general, I trust almost no one on this planet. I trust Gina about as much as I can trust anyone. And I'm pretty sure I can trust my mom. And that's basically the end of my list. I want to trust people. I want to believe the guy who sells me a car is motivated to be honest about the vehicle I'm test driving. I want the guy on the radio talking about financial advice to be trustworthy. I want the couple I met a few weeks ago to be honest about wanting to take me to bed with them. I want to, but to varying degrees, I can't. Just from personal experience alone, I'm not going to fully trust paramours. But it's not just from personal experience. I've heard plenty of horror stories about people who trusted the wrong people and ended up with bad deals or lost fortunes. Now, I could muse about this double-edged sword, making me cautious enough to avoid a lot of the traps the schemers like to set, while also making me fearful enough to miss out on excellent opportunities. But for now, I'm really just saying all that to drive home the point that when it comes to interpersonal relationships, I have trust issues. And when it comes to political and social movements, I'm much, much worse. Generally speaking, the more popular and more trendy something is, the less likely I am to want to participate in it. Again, there are past experiences that have put me in this position. Although I never registered as one, for many years I supported and voted Republican. This was also in my past life as a practicing Christian, so a lot of their social platform fit in with the religious teachings. But even then, I still felt out of place. The mistake I made for most of my life was trying to fit in. I did a lot of preaching against homosexuality in my past life. Ironically, in high school, I was having a same-sex relationship. There was a lot of inner turmoil to being a hypocrite. The only advantage to basically living two lives was in giving me perspective today. I sat in many church meetings, listening to talks of homosexuality as a sin. Now, in and of itself, that's not a big deal. Many religions, or more accurately, many denominations within every religion, think homosexuality is a sin, and if that's what they want to believe, that is their right. The problem for me now is that they use that as an excuse to try to pass legislation to force everyone to conform to their definition of marriage and their moral guidelines on sexuality. The problem for me back then was some people would occasionally pepper those talks with hateful comments. When Ellen DeGeneres came out of the closet, I remember one woman talking about how she was never going to watch her show again and boycott all the advertisers because she didn't want to have her children subjected to Ellen DeGeneres. I point that moment out because I vividly remember my inner disgust for that woman's comment. Not just because we were supposed to be loving towards so-called sinners, but also wondering, what's the big deal for a sitcom to have an openly lesbian star? Why can't you just let somebody live their life the way they want? See, the proto-libertarian was there. Somewhere around that same time, I was hanging out with a gay couple. One of them was an extreme leftist, convinced that the world was vastly overpopulated. And that was probably, 25 years ago? So who knows what he thinks now? He ranted that the world was sick, and it's only getting worse because of all the goddamn breeders. At first, I thought he was just joking. Nope. He just kept sneering about heterosexual people having too many children, despite his boyfriend's attempts to calm him down and apologize for his behavior. I share those two experiences with you because I want you to understand. Spend enough time with disparate groups of people, and eventually you will realize there are pockets of hatred everywhere. The spotlight may be shone on only a few by agenda-driven politicians and media to promote fear of our fellow citizens, but every group of people, regardless of carnal proclivities, philosophical ideology, or melanin content, has some bigotry against them, and some within their group who promote bigotry. So, despite the best attempts of those agenda-driven politicians and media, who sanctify various groups of people over the generations as pure and harmless, those of us with a remedial understanding of humanity know better. Yes, every group has the good ones, who promote peace, love, and understanding. However, as sure as there are the good ones, there are also the assholes that make it difficult for everybody else. There's a reason why people like Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. constantly promoted peace. They had to. If for no other reason than to give the assholes in their group a continual reminder to be better people. And somewhere along the line, we all stop listening to the peace, love, and understanding. Oh, no. There are many people who will claim they are all about promoting peace, love, and understanding, but nothing else they say or do backs that up. I can't tell for sure if they're simply oblivious to their own two-faced agenda, or if they're just hoping people won't see through their facade. Is that cynical or pragmatic? History will decide. Based on what I've seen, this country is just chock full of those oblivious to their own duplicity. The past few months have been constant warning sirens of hypocrisy from both sides of the American political aisle. I get why it would be that way, why it's come to this. A couple of podcasts ago, I talked about Dan Pallotta's speech about rethinking the way charity is viewed and managed. This came from a TED Talk, which are often skewed toward the viewpoints of the leftists in the American political spectrum. So, it came as no surprise to me that he would place the blame on capitalism and religion in his speech. That's not to say that he's one of those myopic people who can't see the other side of an issue. Just the fact that his people reached out to me and took me up on my offer to expand on my opinions is a good sign that they at least want to hear differing thoughts. And as I pointed out in my podcast on the subject, his proposed changes to how charities are run, whether he intended it to or not, were based on capitalism. What I am saying is, in general, people on both sides of the American political aisle have a devil of a time getting outside of their own self-erected walls. One of my favorite excuses to dismiss other groups and ideas is to claim that they are living in a bubble. Look, everybody lives in a fucking bubble, all right? No matter what anybody tries to claim, they are not omniscient. They do not have a full understanding of any other human being, much less any group of people, and empathy can only go so far. Why, when you visit certain cities in America, especially larger cities, you can go to places like Chinatown, or Greektown, or Little Italy? The answer is, people have a natural tendency to surround themselves with other people and things that are familiar to them. And even though the U.S. over a century ago was welcoming of anyone from anywhere, people still gravitated to others of their ethnic group. So those places became little bubbles of comfort to those people. Now don't get me wrong, we all need things that give us comfort. Hell, I like to go to libertarian meetings and read articles by people like Judge Napolitano because that's my bubble. Maybe I have an advantage because the libertarian bubble is still relatively small compared to the liberals and the conservatives. So I often listen to the other sides because I have no other choice. I can't get on social media without seeing rants from either side posted by my friends. Their bubbles are so large, many of them have gotten lost inside. And to them, that bubble is their entire world. I would hope that anyone who has escaped, or at least managed to get their head out of their bubble long enough to look around, would catch on to the hypocrisy. As I've said before, now is a great time to get your head out. Because never in my adult life have I seen or heard the duplicity as vivid and as obvious as it is right now. Maybe, just maybe, you're starting to have trust issues too, when listening to these two sides of the American political aisle go off on their propaganda. And make no mistake about it, propaganda it is. There's a political cartoon that has been around for at least 5 years that I can think of, maybe even longer. It comes around every once in a while on social media. In it, Uncle Sam has a box of some new regulation that he's getting gift-wrapped. The two options to wrap it in are anti-terrorism or protecting children. Something like that always makes it easier to sneak an agenda past people. So whenever one side or the other touts their self-righteousness, I can never trust that I'm looking at the genuine message or the proverbial gift-wrapping of a hidden agenda. So the day after the inauguration, there were marches of predominantly women, all across the United States and even in some foreign countries. And this all came about because of dirty comments made by Donald Trump, both in private conversations that were made public and misogynistic things that he has said and done over the years. I want to get something clear as I go forward with this. I've said raunchy things about female genitalia. I've said raunchy things about male genitalia too, but I have said some things about what I would like to do with vaginas. Playing with it, fingering it, licking it, fucking it, pounding it, wrecking it. I've made comments vastly more times than I could ever hope to remember. And I've heard similar comments from countless numbers of straight men, bisexual women, and lesbians. They were only made in jest, or for stupid displays of testosterone, but I did make them. Now, I would like to think that, coupled with the fact that I've been happily married to a beautiful woman for 17 years, would not qualify me as a chauvinist. But it got me thinking how these women marching in the protests would react to me or any of the other people who've made comments that would be considered by the protesters as vulgar. Let me ask you this. If John F. Kennedy had talked about grabbing a woman by the pussy, do you think there would have been an uproar? If there were an audio recording of Bill Clinton talking about grabbing a woman by the pussy, would there have been protests throughout the nation? If it had been a handsome and or charismatic leftist making those comments, do you think these same women would be out protesting? The fact is, if you're on the approved side of the political spectrum and supported by enough media, you could be accused of rape and then lie under oath when questioned about your potential pattern of abuse, and you would still be touted as one of the great modern presidents, gift-wrapped in the agenda of, oh, it's nothing but a witch hunt about sex. Oh no, this march is all about standing up against this great evil that wants to subjugate women and take away women's rights and women's health care. Is it really all about equality? Are you sure there isn't a hidden agenda? Don't you think it's odd that the same group of people who supposedly want the government to stay out of their bodies are the same ones who demand that the government get into their bodies when it's for something they want? Let me get this out of the way right now. Healthcare is a service, as in goods and services, as in a product. Goods and services cannot be considered rights. Why? Because goods and services are produced through the labor of others, and you do not have the right to another person's labor. Therefore, goods and services must be procured through mutual consent between the laborer and the consumer. That's why I don't want to pay for your birth control. It has nothing to do with your gender. I don't want to be forced to pay for your birth control any more than I want to be forced to pay for the cancer treatment for a person who chain smoked for 50 years. Nor should you be forced to pay for any medical treatment I may need because I'm overweight. So rather than demanding that government force healthcare on everyone, people should be demanding government get the stifling regulation and control out of the way so the market can innovate and provide the better healthcare. Oh, but now we have a scowling corporatist who has said nasty things. So, obviously, that means the end of every right for every woman in the United States and maybe even the whole world. Take advantage of a crisis to promote your agenda. And if it's not a crisis, create enough fear for people to think that it is. Rile up the people with half-truths and exaggerations to get them angry, because that's all either side seems to know how to motivate their followers these days. Between the sickening smugness of Republicans rubbing Trump's victory in the face of the Democrats, and the vitriol spewed back by the Democrats demonizing the new president, there's no magnanimity, only animosity. Remember what I said earlier about Gandhi and King? They did even more than just hold back thousands of angry people with their expectations of peaceful protests. They also promoted love. It wasn't just enough to be passive. You had to show love for the other side, even as they showed hatred to you. See, the Women's March had their fair share of hatred and vulgarity. That's why I don't trust them. Of course, there's no way of knowing what the ratio was of the hateful compared to the peaceful of the protesters, because the left-wing media portrayed them as righteously indignant, while the right-wing media portrayed them as predominantly hateful. There were signs and speeches, mostly from celebrities, that were just as raunchy and vulgar as a comment about pussy grabbing. But that's nothing compared to the violent protests in Berkeley. Look, I had never heard of Milo Yiannopoulos before that happened. I've heard opinions on what the guy says, but I've never heard anything from him directly. I know he's gotten into far worse trouble since the protests, but that being said, there is no excuse to riot and set fires to a fucking campus because you don't like what somebody else says. Well, they say it's because the guy promotes hate speech. Well, what is rioting and setting fires? That's pretty hateful, isn't it? And the guy certainly doesn't seem to be trying to build bridges or promote understanding, but I'm sure the Berkeley protesters would be fine with hate speech if it were directed at people they hate. See, that's the problem with all those on the right and the left who go off on their sanctimonious crusades against their political opposition. Eventually, their duplicity is put on display. There's a small movement in California, calling for secession as a backlash to Trump's presidency. Now, I haven't heard a peep out of my leftist friends who had no problem ridiculing the Texas secession movement during the Obama presidency. Hell, I did a podcast about that a while back, and I'll say the same thing now as I did then. America became a nation because we seceded from the British Empire. Not only is secession a reasonable option, the concept should be embraced by Americans. Now, it shouldn't be taken lightly or done out of spite, but there's no reason why it shouldn't be at least considered. It's pettiness on either side of the political aisle that mocks the other when secession is brought up. Even more ironic is the report that liberals are buying guns and stockpiling supplies in a perceived need to protect their liberties. And conservatives are making fun of them for doing it. Now, the right was mocked for doing the same thing for the past 8 years during the Obama presidency. But the sad thing is, both are correct. They both should be seeking to protect themselves against an ever-expanding government. Not that there's going to be any troops marching down the streets tomorrow, but just as a natural right, you should want to defend yourself from anything that you perceive as a threat. Now, these days, choosing between the Democrats and the Republicans is not a choice between freedom and fascism. Choosing between conservatives and liberals is not a choice between freedom and fascism. No, in the American political arena, our choice is between fascism and fascism. Each side uses their media to whisper in our ears to try to convince us their side is benevolent, while the other, pure evil. Last year, nearly 130 million Americans fell for that scam. When only half the eligible voters decide to exercise that right, and 98% of those who do vote, vote for fascism, we never had a chance. It doesn't matter which of the big political parties wins, if all the winner is going to do is stomp on the rights of people they don't like to curry favor and votes of the citizens they do like. Nor does it matter if they're going to manipulate bad laws in order to pit groups of people against each other, and not just people who are citizens of the United States. Immigration reform is a touchy subject these days. I mentioned in passing a while back that I really do need to do another podcast on immigration. I did one many years ago. I think it was like one of the first 5 episodes I did. I still had a lot of ties to conservatism back then, and that definitely was still influencing me. I don't want to hide that fact because I think it's important to remember where you've been in your life so you don't make the same mistakes twice. Kind of like how the amendment on prohibition remains in the Constitution even though it's been nullified. I think I need to show how my mindset has changed. So you'll probably hear similar words from me again in the near future. But neither of the major political parties in America gives a flying fuck about immigrants in general. I expect there would be scant few people on either side who would deign to help an immigrant for anything other than a self-servicing photo op. What's that quote engraved at the base of the Statue of Liberty? Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. If the Democrats were honest, the quote would read, "Give me your tired, your poor, your ignorant masses yearning to give us their vote to put and keep us in power." If the Republicans were honest, the quote would read, "Give me your hard-working, your affluent, your ignorant masses yearning to pay taxes so we may fund our agenda." Neither the Democrats nor the Republicans really care about immigrants for any purpose other than how they may be used to put their political party in power, keep their political party in power, and advance their political agenda. And in case you haven't caught on just yet, they feel the same way about the United States citizens as well. I mean, sure, they'll give you a good spiel. They'll look you in the eyes, or rather, straight into the camera, because when's the last time you personally met one of them? And they will tell you anything they can to make you believe they are worthy of your vote. That's all they care about. They only care to keep you believing long enough to get them the power, and then they do what interests them. They'll wrap up their legislation in any fancy packaging they need to convince enough of us to keep voting for them. No, they'll tell you it's good that we're collecting metadata on you. It's good to have steady inflation. It's good that nearly half the people get all of their income taxes returned to them. It's good that we artificially increase prices on goods and services through taxes and overbearing regulation. It's good because we do it all for you. We do it to keep you safe. We do it to keep your children safe. We do it because we care about fairness. The only thing worse than the blatant hypocrisy on both sides of the political aisle is the appalling cluelessness they have to their own words and actions. Sadly, nearly all the people in America who vote are myopically loyal to one of the major political parties. And when you spend too long suckling on one ideology, it's difficult to wean yourself off and allow yourself to truly listen. How does a group whose ideas regress our nation to become the same kind of collectivist system in every other country deign to call themselves progressives? How does a group who promotes exorbitant and reckless spending in military actions across the world deign to call themselves conservative? Maybe that's why libertarians only got 3% of the vote. They aren't willing to lie about who they are to the American people. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.